Well, it's good to see everyone that is here today, and pray the Lord will bless us together. We welcome all of those that are tuning in on Facebook and or whatever it may be that they're tuned in to. We're glad you're here, and hope you enjoy the services today. Let's take our Bibles, and we're going to go to the book of Job. And if you call it Job, I won't hold that against you for now. The book of Job, chapter 38, and we're going to read the entire chapter together. I hope you all been able to stay up with your reading. I've had so many people come up to me, and in fact, I missed one Sunday where I didn't put questions out, and they said, "Where's my questions?" You know, that encourages us to keep learning and to keep growing. And really, those questions do. But the reason that I chose chapter 38 is I love what we see at the end of Job and Job's comments and all the arguments that seem to crop up by his friends. And then finally, where he has the one young friend that says, "You guys are older than me, but you're idiots." You know, that was to paraphrase it. It didn't say that exactly in Scripture, but just close enough. But in Job chapter 38, we see the powerful, almighty God as he now speaks to Job. He strips away all of Job's arguments, his self-righteousness, if you will. "I've been a man of integrity." And God says, "I'm going to give it to you straight, Job." And I want to read to you, and just bear with me as we read together, beginning at verse 1, where it says in Job chapter 38, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of them, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest, or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together, and all the stars and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Or who shut up the sea with the doors, and hath break forth as it hath issued as a wound? When I made the cloud the garment thereof, and the thick darkness a swungly band for it, and break it up, break up it for it the decree place, and set bars and doors, and said, Hitherto shalt thou come, but no further, and here shall thy proud waves be stayed. Hast thou commanded the morning since thy days, and caused thy dayspring to know his place, that it might take hold of the end of the earth, that the wicked might be shaken out of it? It is turned as clay to the seal, and they stand as a garment. And from the wicked their light is withholden, and high arms shall be broken. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been open unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors and shadow of death? Hast thou perceived the breath of the earth? The breath of the earth, declare thou knowest it all. Where is the way where light dwelleth? As for darkness, where is the place thereof? That thou shouldest take it to the bound thereof, and that thou shouldest know the paths of to the house thereof. Knowest thou it because thou wast then born, or because the number of thy days is great? Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle for and war? By what way is the light departed, which scattereth the east wind upon the earth? Who hath divided a water course for the overflowing waters? On the wilderness wherein there is no man, to satisfy the desolate and the waste ground, and to cause the bud of the tender herb to spring forth? Hath the rain a father, or who hath begotten the drops of dew? Out of whose womb came the ice and the hoary frost of heaven? Who hath gendered it? The waters are hid as it with a stone, and the face of the deep is frozen. Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Maseroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Canst thou lift up the voice to the clouds, that abundance of waters may cover thee? Canst thou send lightnings, that they may go and say unto thee, Here we are? Who hath put wisdom in the inward parts, or who hath given understanding to the heart? Who can number the clouds in wisdom, or who can stay the bowels of heaven? when the dust groweth into hardness, and the clods fast together. Wilt thou hunt the prey for the lion, or fill the appetite of the young lions, when they crouch in their dens and abide in the covert to lie in wait? Who provideth for the raven his food when the young ones cry out unto God and wonder for lack of meat? Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you that you have allowed us to read the word, and Lord, I pray that you will forgive me for any mistakes that I made in reading, and Lord, that you will give patience to the people to take these things and to learn them together. Lord, never let us stand to be an influence to others, but Father, let us decrease in such a way that the mightiness of your power and your authority would ever come about. Lord, you know I want to preach this word. I love this book of Job, and even though I don't understand all of it, I know that you have it there for a reason. And help us, dear Father, to grasp these things and to learn them and to guide and to expect your leadership in the guidance thereof. We pray, Father, that you will bless the preaching of the word, that this vessel may be used of you in a powerful way, and that we might rejoice over the things that you have given. So guide us today, Father, and bless the preaching of the word. Use us as you see fit, and it's in Christ we pray. Amen. I don't know how many of you have read Job. I've read it a number of times, and it's still the book of Job. And every now and then, when I read about his friends, they make a lot of sense to me. I read them, and it seems like that their philosophies are good, their reasoning is all good, and they lay it out. And then when Job answers them, he sets them straight. And many times I scratch my head, I'm going, I didn't see that, Job. How is it that you see it and I don't? And the reality is that the more I study the Bible, the more I realize that I don't have an infinite mind, but I have a finite mind. Finite means that it's an ever-learning mind. It's one that grows. And in fact, I remember when I was a student in school that my teacher said, we only use a small portion of our brain. And imagine how much we could learn if we would use all of our brain. And the reality is that kind of bothered me because I've got all this natural stuff that's up there and I still don't use my brain accordingly. The sad part is, I read a lot of these things that are in the book of Job, and I can justify what others have to say, or even Job's self-righteousness, his integrity. What right does God have to inflict me with sores? What right does God have to take the things away from me? What right does God have to inflict me? What right? How many of us have ever gotten that into our mind that we want to talk about what right we have versus the right that God has? And may I point this out to you, that at the very beginning of this book, Job had it all. And Job had it pretty good, did he not? Well, let me show this to you just in case you missed it. Turn with me, if you will, back to the book of Job, chapter 1. And let's take a look at, you know, all the things that we see of Job. And matter of fact, we have both Satan, and it says that when all the sons of God had met together, meaning the angels and those had walked to and fro, you know, and a lot of people say, well, you know, Satan goes up into heaven. I don't believe that. I really believe that there was a time to where that when you take a look at the earth, that you had the Lord God, that he would dwell with men upon the earth. And you say, well, where do you get that? If you go back and read Genesis chapter 4, you'll get pretty good picture of it. Because it said it wasn't until the birth of Seth's son, when you take a look at Seth and he had son Enos, that it said, then began men to call upon the name of God. In other words, the visiting of the Lord had ceased being upon the earth. But be it as it may, I want you to get this for a moment. Satan is ready to accuse. And look at verse 6 in chapter 1. Notice what it says. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. Do you realize that Satan is not like God? He cannot be everywhere at the same time. But Satan can observe by going around and watching all that goes on, and his minions as well. Do you realize that Satan knows if we're being disobedient? But he also knows what little things that are in our life that we will easily stumble at. Whether it is wanting to have more wealth in our pocket and we would literally live and die because of wealth. Maybe it's because the hope, I mean, I'll tell you what, I was so disappointed. Somebody won the big lottery. I mean, just all this, the Powerball, they won it. I thought, well, I didn't win it. I didn't play it either, but I didn't win it. But there are people that they will literally be in distress because they're putting all of their eggs in a basket hoping they win the lottery. And the reality is that I see this all the time where people either want wealth, maybe they want good looks. I tell you what, it's a curse having all these good looks. I'll just tell you that right now. You know, being a good-looking man, no, never mind. But the reality is having looks. There's people that they go after that. And I mean, the beauty products. Have you ever seen someone completely ugly on TV advertising a beauty product? It doesn't happen. They want to make sure that you understand you use this product, you're going to be beautiful. I told my grandsons the other day, I said, have you ever seen the Old Spice commercial where the guy goes, now look at me, now look at your husband, look at me, look at your husband, look at me, look at your husband. Your husband's not me, but he could be me if he did this. And I'm thinking, all these women are probably swooning because they want their husbands to be like this guy. It doesn't work that way. It could be sex. Sex sells. And matter of fact, let me just say this to you, that in the day in which we live, there's more promiscuity that affects because sex does sell. And reality is that Satan knows your weakness because he observes in private what you do in your privacy as well. I remember this is that James Dobson many years ago said, integrity is what we do when we're by ourselves. I think that's a pretty good example. But Satan observes you, and I love what the Lord does as well because he observes us as well. And so the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Go on down to verse 8. And the Lord said unto Satan, has thou considered my servant Job? Now, evidently, Job was a man who was very upright. Job was a good man. And he said that there is none like him in the earth. In other words, of all... Job. That's a pretty good statement, isn't it? And he said, and an upright one, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. In other words, he doesn't want any evil in his life. And notice what he says. Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear for naught? Does Job fear God for naught? There's a reason that Job fears you. And the reason that he fears you is you've given him all the good stuff. But look what he said. Hast not thou made an hedge about him? Let me tell you something, folks. Every one of us ought to be thankful for the hedge we cannot see. I know that there is a hedge about this man of God. There are sins in my life that I don't want anybody else to know about. Anyone else out there with me on that? I mean, we like our privacy, don't we? And there's nothing worse than to have our sins exposed and laid down in front of us so that we have to deal with them then. But here's the thing. We see this hedge that is about us, and we better be thankful because as long as that hedge exists, Satan will not touch us. I've heard a lot of people say, well, you know, God doesn't really control the environment. He doesn't do this, that, and the other. You don't know what God is doing in your life. You don't know what God is taking away from you. You don't know what God is doing in this world. But God is hedged about you for a reason. He's protecting you. And notice again that he goes in, he goes, you pulled a hedge around about him. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house and all that he hath on every side? Hast thou blessed the work of his hands and the substance is an increase in the hand? But put forth thy hand now and put all the take away including his children and all of his livestock and his house. Take all that. Remember years ago, there was this actor by the last name of Jones. He starred in the Love Bug series, things like that. And when the Lord saved him, they asked him one time, they said, what would you do if you came home and all that you had was taken away? He said, I'd still praise God. And that night, or shortly thereafter, he went home and his house was ablaze. He got in the back of his car and grabbed his guitar and started singing praises to God. I don't know how I would respond if I lost everything. But this I do know, that if I am truly a man after God's own heart, if I have an integrity that is within me, though I lose everything I have, I should still praise God. Job praised God for all the good that was there. And so we all know the story how this occurred. But wait, there's more. After all that, still Job would not, even after he lost everything, and it was really down to him and his wife and four servants, and when all was left behind, Job was still not being finished with when it came to Satan. And Satan came a second time to God and said, well, you know, skin for skin. Inflict him with pain and suffering and see if he doesn't curse you then, God. And here Job was infected with boils, so much so that he sat up on the ashes and he was scraping the boils from the top off so that they would bleed off. And his wife even came out and she said, just curse God and die. Man, there's nothing worse than to have someone trying to keep you from serving God. Someone you're close to, someone that you love, someone that you care about, and they want you to give up. His wife saw the pain that Job was going through, and she said, just curse God and die. And he goes, wait a minute. You're talking like a foolish woman. Should I praise God for all the good that he has done and now curse him because I'm being inflicted? But what's worse is when he had four friends show up. I would give these friends this. For at least a week, they sat down, shut up, and didn't say a thing. How many of us have ever been to someone that's had inflicted pain and we just don't know what to say? Anyone been there? Who said you had to say anything? I guarantee you these men weren't Baptist. You said, how's that? Because Baptists have to say something. The reality is that these men came in and for a week they just sat with Job. But when they opened their mouth, they started saying a mouthful. And the first thing they wanted to say is, there must be sin in your life. There must be wrong in your life. You haven't done enough of this. You haven't done enough of that. Go back in and read this book, and you're going to find that all the human philosophy in the world and all the human religions are wrapped up in what they had to say. And reality is Job would turn around and he would say, no, it's not that way at all. The short synopsis, but that leads us over to chapter 38, where now Job is given an answer, and his answer is being given by God to him, basically pointing out, who do you think you are? Guys, I want to tell you this. I don't know what I may face in this life. I may face cancer. I may face, you know, some other difficulties. I might be in a bad accident and not be able to walk anymore. I thank God for all the good I've already received, but I don't know what I may still face later on down the road. Neither do you. I thank God for his hedging about me and protecting me, and I ask God all the time, don't take that hedge away from me. Continue to preserve and to protect me. Preserve the membership. But the reality is that even though we see that, it should be understood that all we have to do is just stop and take a look, and we can see everything for what it is. This past Friday, my son Tony was in town, and he said, Dad, I want you to see St. Augustine, Florida. I've never been there. Never been to St. Augustine. Lived in Florida all my life, you know, this last year or so, and I've been in Florida a couple of times. Never been to Fort Augustine or St. Augustine. And when we went over there, there's an area where you cross over, first of all, the first bridge, and there's a man-made canal that they dug. It's not the intercoastal waterway, but it's another canal that they dug, and the water is absolutely black. And I went, wow. And that was pretty amazing. But then we crossed over, and I went into what they now say the Bay of the St. John's River, and it is huge. And the water was choppy. You want to talk about a little bit scary? There's a reason I didn't join the Navy. I love to swim. I love playing in the water, things like that. But this boy was never designed to be on the ocean for a long period of time. And the reality is I saw that, and I thought, how magnificent is the creation of God. How can anybody look at this and not see the hand of God? And I crossed over that bay, and I ended up meeting up with Tony. We were together. We went over to St. Augustine, and we went on the fort, and we began to look around, and we looked, and I mean, I looked at everything. But most intently, I was looking out towards the ocean. And as I looked at the inlet of the ocean, I went, just over there is the ocean. Can you see it? Look at the white caps. Look at it as it rolls in. We were now reaching low tide, and the caps were coming into the bay. I said, look at that. And I love the ocean. I love its power and everything. But the reality is that my mind doesn't race to how beautiful it is, but how much that God created that. While we were there, we saw some dolphins. And they were, man, I tell you, we counted at one time about a dozen dolphins as we were swimming around. And so you would see mothers and their babies, and you would see bigger dolphins and things like that. And there was all this kind of stuff to take a look at. And I went, this is absolutely amazing to be able to enjoy this before with my son in this area. And there was so much more that I could tell you about. But the reality is, I don't understand certain things. So let me just show this to you again. And we're in chapter 38. That's where I just turned back to. And I want us to go back to verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Who's talking? When was the last time you just prayed not saying a word? Every now and again, and I'm blessed that I have my grandsons with me, my three of them. And every now and then, I just like to have them with me. I get to share in their lives. I get to cook for them. I get to do things with them. But every now and then, I don't have anything to say. I just want them with me. How much more the redeemed ought to be able to come into the presence of God and say, I just want to be with you. Come on now. Into his presence in stillness. Does not the psalm say, be still and know that I am God? There's something to be said of stillness because we get to hear his still, small voice. When Elijah escaped and went into the mountains, he saw the fire, he saw the whirlwind, he saw the rending of the mountains, but what he heard was the still small voice. And when he did, he wrapped his mantle around him, meaning that he understood that he was in the presence of God, and he went out to the mouth of the cave and listened. Notice the voice of the Lord comes out of this whirlwind, and I wish I could mimic it. What do you want now, Job? Who do you think you are? You don't believe me? He says that? Look at this. Verse 3. Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. In other words, you have complained. You have. And the thing that I love about it became more clear to me when I look at the universe. Did you read and did you see? Even though I read kind of terribly. Did you read where it says, and when the water floods, there's a way for it to back up so it won't just overcome and take people out? Do you realize that God builds natural causes on our planet? But even more so, can you imagine the Serengeti when it needs water? God sends it? There's nobody in the Serengeti. But God sends water. The vast desert of Australia, where people do not live, God still sends water. Mojave Desert and other deserts, God still sends water when it is needed. And there's great water we can see it there as well. But the reality is that God has created this earth and He every day, and she goes, when do we start buying water? I grew up and we used to have water. Well, water that stunk to high heaven. Had so much sulfur in that water and things like that. And then he'd pull out that glass of water and it was discolored. And he goes, well, I hope you enjoy it. I hope I survive. I got iron in our water down in Florida, and they said the one way you can tell if people have iron water is their hair turns yellow. He's pointing at you. Just ignore him. And the reality is we can't do anything about it. But did you know, and I asked, I had Colligan come in and check the water, and they said, there's nothing wrong with your water. It just tastes bad. It ain't going to kill you. I said, well, I wish I was dead. But the reality is that God still gives us water. You ever been in an underground cave of water? Do you realize in Florida, when you dig down, there is an under the ground river that everybody taps into? I asked the Colligan man, I said, will that ever dry up? He said, not as long as it's a river. Here in West Virginia, Kentucky, Ohio, we have caverns of water. And the water rains upon the surface and it gradually drains down until it fills those caverns back up. You mean to tell me that was by accident? We have the Ohio River. Isn't that a magnificent river? We have the Mississippi. We have other waterways, the Kentucky River, the Big Sandy, the Guyandock. We have the Kanawha River, and so on and so forth. Those were by accident? And yet, everything that we see, God gave the initial blessing of water. How much of your body is water? I know, I just now gave you a great big science question, now you're going to go home. They now say it's about 85% water. But when I was in school, they said 75%. Now they don't, not sure. But imagine this. You're made up of water. And when that water dries out, you become dust. Do you realize that you're only made up of about 25 cents worth of materials, probably with inflation about $2.50? And yet God sees you as precious. You have been wonderfully made. And I look at all these things, I mean, I heard someone say, I'm a flat earther. I went, you've got to be kidding me. I said, you've never read your Bible, have you? Because the reality is that it says that he hung the earth in space. He hung it. We can't see the hanging, can we? What causes the earth to spin? What causes the water to stay? Not only that, but who put the covering of the clouds? Think about this. Before the flood, there was no covering of clouds. But after the flood, there was a covering of clouds. Who did that? When we stop and we consider the ways of God, the one thing that we have to come back to this is that I am not worthy. I can't control my life. I can't even control when I'm going to die. I can't control any of it. There's been times that I have traveled in my, and I love driving. I do. I better enjoy it. And I have arrived at a particular location, and I don't know how I even got there. As I was traveling up yesterday, I thought, you know, God, you have protected me over and over again. I've seen people that are driving and they're just being idiotic on the roads. And I see accidents and I see this and I see that. And I'm going, God, why is it that you protect me? Because God's not finished with me yet. And the beautiful thing about this, and this is what I like about this particular area, is that in a very simple answer, God is now bringing Job, and he goes, now, you want to question me? Ask your questions. When we stop and thinking that we're so much better, we will then come before God and we'll say, oh, and you ever turn around and say, well, God, why is it my child? Why? And he can say, I can get more glory out of you for what you've done and what I want from you. How many of us have ever heard of John Newton? We sing his song all the time. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch. Now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Whitney Phelps, who is a black singer, actually put a video out to where he talked about John Newton. And you know, they do not know where that tone or that song came from. I'm talking about the melody. And if you go to the Library of Congress, it says, words by John Newton, melody unknown. And I love what Whitney Phelps said. He goes, does anybody know what John Newton's trade was before the Lord saved him? He was a slave ship captain. And he said, do you realize that the notes for that particular song can all be played on the black chords? Black notes. And he said, that particular song sounds very much like an African slave song. John Newton said, my memory, I'm getting older, my memory is failing, but this I know, I'm a great sinner, and he's a great savior. And I can imagine that John Newton struggled for years and years after all the slaves that he helped bring across the way and to deliver to the American shores. And John Newton, as he wrote this song, I have no doubt that he recorded it in his mind. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I don't know how many of you all know this, but the verse we sing, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, Newton never wrote that. It was added many years later. Newton finished the song, the earth shall cease and dissolve like snow. That's where he ended it. And reality is when you die, what will you face? You're going to stand before Almighty God. You're going to shake your puny little fist and say, why did you do that? No, you won't. God has allowed us to make some of our own choices, and we have to live with the consequence of our choices. Well, I didn't know. Did you ask me? Did you seek me? Did you want what's best for you, or did you want what was best for your life? And the reality is that when Newton passed away, he had actually written his own epitaph. And he said, I was a libertine. You know what that means? I allowed sin of every imaginable strain to enter into my life. It was said that when he was a young sailor, he had actually been part of a press gang. They had doped him up and they had forced him to serve on board ship. And they said he was so vile that nobody could even stand him. He became so wicked that even the British Navy couldn't do anything with him and traded him off to another ship. A slave ship. And he became so vile at that, that finally he was able to go on board, on shore in Africa, and there he was chained to a tree like a dog. And he almost died. But while he was in that condition, he began to cry out to God, "Save me." Just because you cry out to God doesn't mean that when God the manifestation of what God was going to do in John Newton came when he was restored back on ship and this terrible storm was sweeping in. It was such a bad storm that even John and wave after wave careened over the ship. And it was badly beaten and badly torn. And he cried out, "Oh!" And when the storms were all over, there was very little left of the sails. There was very little left of any mast. And the ship was badly beaten. One of the crewmen came out and he said, "It was magnificent what you did." And he goes, "I did nothing. An unseen hand of God preserved us." And he cried out, "Oh God, must men deal with things this way before we're able to turn our eyes to you?" And John made it in. By the way, the one woman he loved, her name was Mary, and she had given him a Bible, and he put it in his pocket and never read it, but he did after that. And he made his way to Mary's house, and she said, "Oh, John, where have you been?" And he said, "I've been to Calvary. I've been to Calvary. And Jesus is my Savior. And if you will have me, I would love to be your husband." She said, "You might as well, because my Father knows that I will have no other but you." And he became the pastor of a Baptist church in England. Look at yourselves. What are you blaming God for? Look at yourselves. Are you upset because of your circumstances? Have you stopped counting your blessings? Have you wondered why God's not bringing revival amongst us? Is it because we want to complain too much? That we don't want God? Have we taken God for granted? If we want to know the joy of the Lord, it begins when we see God for who He really is. Stop bringing Him down and thinking that you're the marionette and He's the puppet. See Him as God. And when you hear His voice, hear Him say, "Who is this that darkeneth my counsel without knowledge?" In other words, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? And it was after that that Job began to see God for who He really is. And God submitted Himself before God. Job submitted himself in such a powerful way. Is that you? Is that me? Seek the Lord for yourselves, even now, while He may be found. Father, again, I want to thank You for this opportunity to stand before the congregation. I pray that this message will be what we absolutely need, and that You will bless us as we conclude in the services today. Guide us, Lord, and touch the hearts and lives of everyone that is here. And let us rejoice in You. In Christ we pray. And amen. Brother Randy. You have a song for us?